97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy that you're with us this morning. I thought maybe Kim St. Ange was going to take over the mic there because, once again, I walked into the studio at the last minute.
No, that's
okay. I tried to get
never
it.
Do
I'm
that.
In there working hard. I work in the commercial breaks. I'm not wasting time. Not out there, you know, sipping coffee or something. I'm working. I'm getting ready here. We're gonna talk about this a little bit about this Australian social media ban for teenagers coming up.
What do you think of that? So they're punishing the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram. I guess that would be all Meta.
Are they focused? Are they punishing them?
Yes,
or
they're fining them if they don't.
Well, no, I see what you're saying, but they're punishing the kids, right?
No.
By not giving them access.
Well, they're not giving them access if they're under 16. But if the actual platforms, the companies themselves are not proving that they're actually removing those accounts, they're fining them. And in some cases, it could be tens of millions of dollars in fines.
Yeah. Here's my take on this. I'm one of those people that thinks that the cat is out of the bag. I'm not sure how we put that genie back in the bottle, to be very honest with you. I don't know the answer to that. We don't let kids drink, but kids usually find a way to drink before they're of legal age anyway. If you've ever been to college, you know that. Or if you got a kid in high school, you probably have experienced that at some point. And we have laws against it, but they find out a way around it. Now, what they're going to do here is stop it at the source. But I still believe these kids who want access to it are going to find a way around it. You talk about one giant drop and flop tantrum in this country. Could you imagine what we've got? Are a couple of generations of kids now, because many of them are adults who are absolutely addicted to social media. It's what makes them get out of bed every morning. I honestly exaggerate only slightly there. If you suddenly cut that off tomorrow, it would be like taking meth away from a meth addict. I mean, they're gonna go into withdrawal pretty quickly.
Well, that's it. You know, we have these clinics where people can go and have withdrawal effects, and they're monitored very closely because that can be very, very challenging. People can get sick, physically sick, obviously, from getting off of drugs, and it seems as though that's the path we're headed down. We're going to have clinics for people who are getting off of social media or don't have their phones because they're going to start shaking and doing other things.
Have that conversation with your under 16-year-old this morning and ask them, how would you feel tomorrow if, when you woke up, you could no longer access Insta or whatever these your particular social media thing is?
Well, I heard Facebook's not cool anymore.
So yeah, they're not on Facebook. Yeah. Snapchat or Insta,
TikTok.
One of the two, TikTok.
How are they going to verify this?
I don't know. I don't know.
Are they going to make us, like,
Our license? We'll talk more about it coming up with Mary Vogt, because it's in Australia, not America, just to be clear. And there are people who think we'd be smart to consider something like that over here. I don't know. I mean, I think at some point you just have to put more. You have to get more parents active. I don't know that the government needs to step in and do that. We've let the horse out of the barn. Which means the doors weren't being tended. And I think there's an argument that you'd probably need to demand some more parental responsibility before you start banning these things. But I don't doubt the detrimental effects. Don't get me wrong. We'll chat about that with Mary Vogt coming up here in just a minute. I was in there grabbing some soundbite from an Australian teen who has a lovely voice, and I wanted you to hear what they had to say about this whole thing. So we will get to that for you. At the end of the hour, 7:45, instead of Kim on a whim today, a couple days ago, Kim did whim about this problem some parents have run across in the local healthcare systems, where their teenagers, young kids, 13, 14 years old, are asked to fill out a form whether or not they want their parents to have access to certain information. Which baffled me, because I don't know how that could be a thing. But apparently it is a thing. Channel 4 did a story claiming that it's disinformation. But we've got one parent who says it's not, and we're going to talk to her here at about 7:45 about that. So stay tuned. We'll get to all that for you. Right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist, presented by Rhino Shield.
From me, I want to say thank you for this bridge payment. It's Christmas early for farmers. What you're doing here in D.C. is working.
Yeah, one of the farmers thanking the president yesterday for announcing that they are going to make some money available to some of these farmers injured because of the actions of the Chinese completely cutting off their market. Now, that's all going to come back, and it's going to be better than ever for these farmers. But for now, they are thanking President Trump for the relief.
We may as well put a sign on the floor of the Senate that says property of big tech, because nothing moves across that floor, in my observation, nothing that they don't want.
Yeah, Senator Hawley there talking about putting a sign on the Senate floor saying, listen, we are controlled by big tech. So everything we do put on the floor comes through their lens, and people need to be aware of that.
His ratings on the economy are even lower than his actual approval numbers. And I think that's a really striking thing. I don't know if he can get that back short of a really big change in his approach to the economy, which Trump is not prepared to make. Donald Trump isn't going to renounce tariffs because the voters are unhappy with it.
No, he's not. Although I think we work on marketing, and I think you're about to find out a whole lot more about which direction that is going forward.
Director, yes or no, is the FBI still spying on parents at school board meetings?
No, sir.
Is the FBI still targeting Catholics?
No, sir.
Is the FBI still spying on President Trump?
I don't believe so.
Is the FBI still censoring Americans?
No, sir.
Yeah, Kash Patel and Jim Jordan in that hearing where I played some of the interaction yesterday between Kash Patel and Adam Schiff. And if you saw Cory Booker going after Kash Patel saying, I'm not afraid of you, thinking he was going to have his little Spartacus moment. I mean, Cory Booker dwarfs Kash Patel. Why is he threatened by Kash Patel? Because Kash Patel has the strength of his convictions, and he's telling these Democrat senators the truth about the way the FBI was grossly mishandled under the Biden administration, how it was weaponized. And it's not what they wanted to hear. Adam Schiff certainly didn't want to hear it when Kash Patel dropped a couple of truth bombs on him yesterday. So Jim Jordan took his opportunity as the chairman when Patel appeared before him and said, I have a couple questions for you, because it strikes me that the thing these Democrats don't like right now is that you're reversing policies that were hurting Americans. Listen to this.
Is the FBI still targeting Americans for shopping at Cabela's or purchasing Bibles?
Nobody is targeted for their faith.
Is the FBI still targeting Americans who are pro-life?
Nobody is targeting anyone for their beliefs.
Is the FBI still cooking the books on crime data?
The crime data is real.
Is the FBI still purging agents for conservative viewpoints?
No one at the FBI has asked their viewpoints on policy.
Is the FBI still labeling the Betsy Ross flag, the flag of the American Revolution, a hate symbol?
No.
Well, maybe that's why you've been able to, what was the number, 23,000 bad guys you've arrested, a huge increase from the same time period in the previous administration. I think you said 1,400 predators, 4,000 children rescued. Were those the facts?
4,700, 35% increase on children rescued.
Yeah. And you got the guy at Abbey Gate?
We got the Abbey Gate guy.
We had a guy from the 4th District of Ohio who lost his life there serving our country. We appreciate that. Maybe when you're not focused on politics, you can actually do what the FBI is supposed to do. Go get the bad guys, right?
That's what the men and women of the FBI do.
Thank you. Well said, Jim Jordan and Kash Patel yesterday. Above all the noise, here's what we're not doing anymore. What we are doing is focusing on getting the bad guys. Good for them. That was a powerful testimony yesterday. Coming up, Mary Vogt from Heritage. We'll talk, among other things, about the Australian ban on social media for teenagers 16 and under. We'll be
realize it would be this sudden. So we're all a bit in shock still. But since some of us still have our accounts, we're just unsure what's going to happen and how they're going to ensure that we're not going to be able to access social media.
Well, that was a very calm Australian teen who's just not sure what she's going to do.
Nice,
because she woke up and her social media didn't work, although she said, they were all taken aback by it because it was very sudden. And some of them already had accounts. What are they going to do? It's a good question. We got Mary Vogt with us this morning, a vice president of strategic comms for the Heritage Foundation. Mary, welcome back.
Thanks, Mark. Happy to be here.
This is sparking a debate here in the U.S. I mean, I when usually anything Rahm Emanuel is in favor of, I'm opposed to. But in this particular case, he thinks the U.S. ought to look at something like this.
I thought the exact same thing when I saw his quote. I was like, am I on the wrong side of this issue? But as a parent, I welcome it. I think it's great what Australia did. I hope the United States considers something else. If anyone that has seen kids or been around kids has seen them on cell phones, they're absolutely addictive platforms. And social media platforms, like the 10 biggest platforms that they blocked in Australia yesterday night, and these companies would face about a $33 million fine if they violated it and allowed individuals under 16 to join these platforms. But any individual that's been around kids on phones, they're extremely addictive, and not to mention the harms that they can cause to girls and confidence, these social media platforms, predators, foreign influence. There's a lot of issues with it, and I think that they made the right decision to not allow individuals under 16 to access them.
The debate about this could be, is it government overreach? But ultimately, parents should be the ones who are limiting access to social media for their younger children. But are they really doing that? Clearly not, because there's so many of these younger kids who are on these social media sites and using them for hours and hours each day.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been to a kid's birthday party and I saw a girl as young as 7 years old sit in the corner on a cell phone for 2 straight hours. And her parent was talking, engaging in conversation, could have cared less while her brain was rotting in the corner. It's absolutely horrific. I agree parents should be the ones making these decisions, but I'm not opposed to what Australia is doing. These platforms, we've seen a lot of congressional members, Senator Josh Hawley, a lot of individuals have exposed the harms of these social media platforms and how they're used to degrade morals and hurt individuals and confidence for young girls.
Yeah, it's going to spur a lot of discussion. I still look at it, to your point, as an indictment of our parenting skills here in the United States. That parents, we just have to admit it. In some cases, it's technology we either don't understand or an app that we don't have, so we're not really sure what they're being exposed to. And at that point, you have to step in as a parent and say, I'm going to take control over this and set some limits on it. And I think most are just lazy about it, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. My opinion. I think a lot of, I think you're right. I think a lot of individuals give their kids phones because they want to contact them and it's a safety issue and they want to be able to have them reach them. And then when you give them a phone, there then comes the apps and the platforms and they don't want to feel left out and their classmates are doing it and their peers are doing it. And so it's just this snowball effect where then they get sucked in and their whole identity is like how they're portrayed online. And, I'm grateful that I grew up at a time when I didn't have that. I was able to talk and communicate with kids and I didn't know what other people were doing on the weekend and I was fine doing what I was doing with my family. And these pressures that kids have, it's terrible and it's sad. And you're right, it does go to parenting and the laziness that some individuals just kind of check out and hand them a phone.
They're very true. Mary, I played a soundbite, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, from an undercover investigation in Maine. And the somebody called up the Bureau of Motor Vehicles and started asking questions about their friend Mohammed, who moved here from Somalia, and he doesn't speak English, but he wants to get a driver's license. And the clerk very calmly explained how all you have to do is bring in your old driver's license from Somalia, and we'll have somebody give you the test orally in Somalian, and then all you have to do is take a quick driver's course and we're going to give you a driver's license. It's unbelievable. You guys have a great article on there from Victor Davis Hanson talking about these illegals that are plaguing our highways right now.
Absolutely. It's extremely scary. If you cannot read English, you cannot understand English, you should not be driving on the roads. And the irony here is Victor David Hansen lives in California and he's talking about what he's seen in California. And this used to just be a border state issue, but we're seeing it all across the United States and in places like Maine, like you mentioned. And individuals should not be getting driver's license. And Victor David Hansen in his piece talks about, you know, just seeing people drive crazy on the freeway. He said he no longer reads the Fresno Bee because every single day there's two stories in there. One about a body that's found in an orchard, and another is about a hit and run where the driver fled the scene. And you know why they're doing that? Because they don't have insurance, they're not here legally, and they don't want to, you know, meet the repercussions of what happened in their actions. And sure. So it's alarming. We have young people, we have individuals going to work, people are using the road as an avenue to get to where they need to be. And you have people on the road that aren't qualified to drive yet, you know, because of DEI, because you don't want to be seen harsh to another individual's culture, we're just handing out these driver's licenses like candy.
Well, and we've seen the victims.
Well, yeah, and now you have the Illinois governor who just signed a new law yesterday, a new bill that essentially makes it where the feds can't come in to it was like colleges and daycares and different places and try to arrest these illegals. And Illinois supposedly let out 1,700 criminal illegals from jail who had, you know, charges like homicide and assault. I mean, it's crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. It's reckless. These elected officials are supposed to represent their constituents and make sure that their communities are safe, and they're not doing that, and they shouldn't be in office. And, you know, every individual that's come here to the United States illegally has broken the law, and they should leave. And I think the Trump administration is doing a good job of trying to get them out. You know, more need to leave, but it hurts our communities, and, you know, it weakens our country. And, you know, Victor David Hansen in his piece talks a lot about the pressures that it puts on the healthcare system. And, you know, he's seen firsthand, you know, trying to get some emergency CAT scans or PET scans and having to wait 4 months for these things because of the pressure that illegals have been putting on the system. Right. And it's unfortunate. We need to be able to protect our constituents. We need to be able to protect the people that are here legally, citizens of America, and not fool to those that aren't.
Amen. Mary, what can people do to support what you guys do at Heritage?
Yeah, well, they can go to heritage.org and they can give. There's a way to sign up. There's also a way to get emails from us and see the content that we're putting out, which is great. We have, I would say, the top experts in the country at the Heritage Foundation, the largest conservative think tank. We're putting out policies and proposals and ideas on a lot of the big issues that are out there. They can also support the Daily Signal. Victor David Hansen's piece is in the Daily Signal. He's a contributor for them. They can go to dailysignal.com, and there's a way to subscribe and get the story sent to your inbox, but also to donate.
Yeah, it's great. Mary, we appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, heritage.org. Mary Vogt, their VP of Strategic Comms with them. Stick around. We'll talk more about this situation with the hospital allowing your young child to keep you from accessing their records. Stay tuned.
What the hell do you have to lose?
It's a good question. Apparently, you have a soccer match to lose. Kim just sent me the story. I had not seen this. It's shocking. Would you call it shocking, Kim?
It's just idiotic. Shocking and idiotic.
So, remember when Donald Trump threatened to pull the FIFA games from the Seattle area if they tried to stop him from sending federal troops and National Guard troops in there to quell violence and all that? He goes, I'll just move it. I mean, we got time. I'll get it done. We brought him here. We can take him away. And they were all screaming, all the libs out there, how dare you, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to admit something to you, and this is not going to be a surprise to those of you who've listened to the show for a long time. I am not a soccer fan. And by saying that, it doesn't mean that I hate soccer. I've been to a couple of games over here at the new stadium. A friend gifted me some tickets, and I went over there. It was a fantastic atmosphere. Boring as hell, because after 90 minutes, there was no score. But I didn't grow up with soccer. And therefore, I'm not one of those diehard, rah, 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 stand up the whole time in the end zone, scream for one stinking goal kind of soccer. I'm just not. It's not me. But I'm fine with it. I'm glad that it's successful. I'm glad we got a team here, even if they sucked the last year or so. I'm glad we have one. I did hear, I was surprised to hear yesterday, somebody, I heard in an interview, on this with, I'm trying to think of the guy's name. He's a congressman from Central Illinois. Ray LaHood was saying this because apparently he's on the FIFA committee that helped bring this to the U.S. He said that we will end up having something like the equivalent of 35 Super Bowls over 55 days or something like that in terms of the stadium draw and the amount of interest in these games in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico over the next whenever this games start. Fascinating. That's fine. It's bound to bring in revenue and all that stuff. I'm glad we have it. I have no problem with us having it. What I do have a problem with is how woke they are. How woke FIFA is. And apparently in having that opinion that they're very woke, I fall into accord with Iran, who's very upset with the fact that in Seattle, they're going to have a pride match featuring Egypt and Iran. Now, these are two countries that ban, correct me if I'm wrong, Kim, homosexuality.
Right.
And they're going to be forced to come here under the in order to play soccer in the FIFA World Cup matches. They have to play in Seattle. They got, you know, everybody was drawn at random. They got put in this bracket that's going to play in woke Seattle, where the leftists out there have designated pride matches as a celebration of the LGBTQ community. And I'm thinking to myself, first of all, what does gayness have to do with soccer? I'm not being a smart aleck when I ask that question. Like, they don't have celebrations of heterosexual night at soccer games. Why do they have to have pride match nights at soccer games?
They have it for the MLB. Don't they have it for the NFL? They have it for, like, every sport now has to have a pride night.
But listen to how it's described here. The local organizing committee in Seattle is the one who decided this. It's one of the host cities for the tournament. And they designated this game with Egypt and Iran. Now, they designated it before the draw was made. It ends up that after being drawn, it's Egypt and Iran. And they designated this game to celebrate the gay community.
Yeah, I can't believe this, but I side with Iran. The head of Iran's Football Federation said that they have objections against the issue and labeled this an irrational move that supports a certain group.
Well, right. I don't know. I mean, what if they designate it? It's Pride Month. Apparently it's happening in whatever that month is. Is it June? I don't know.
It's June 26th.
June 26th. So that must be Pride. So they designated, they had to do something to shove this in your face during Pride Month. So they designated this game to be the official Pride match. And of course, Iran and Egypt are pretty pissed off about it.
Well, yeah, it says, according to Human Rights Watch, homosexual conduct can be punishable by death in Iran, while in Egypt, the country's morality laws are often used to suppress, it says, LGBTQ+ rights, leading to arrests and prosecution. It's not a little slap on the wrist.
I wonder what if they like designated it Furry Night or something.
But that's next. We're probably going to have Furry Night at some point.
Or what if it had happened in a city with a heavy Jewish population, and they had designated it Jewish Night? I mean,
No. They'll probably have Palestinian Night. That's
Palestinian Night. Maybe that's what they're going to. But these two wouldn't mind if they had Palestinian Night. They wouldn't play if there was a Jewish flag flying over the stadium for that game. You know they wouldn't. I'm baffled by the whole thing. And I don't know why Trump doesn't just step in and say, no, we're not doing this. This is just nonsense. Don't do it at any of the stadiums, and then you're not causing a problem like this.
And stop making the players wear those dumb patches. Why should they be forced to wear a patch if it goes against their religious beliefs? That's ridiculous. If I were a player, I would be the same one who you hear, you know, squawking about this and then getting all this hate online because they've said, look, I don't stand for this. I'm not okay with wearing the rainbow patch or whatever it is that they're forced to wear.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's the newest controversy to pop up over the FIFA World Cup. And really, it's just a complete coincidence that Egypt and Iran are the two countries playing during what had already been designated as the Pride match. And they'll have to go in and play under all of the rainbow flags and all that stuff.
You think they remember, would just though, say, I refuse to play? Because
remember, though, don't they play over here under FIFA rules when City plays? Because when we had that controversy of the guy, we had him on the air, who got kicked out for wearing a MAGA hat. That's all it said was, make America great again. Didn't have Donald Trump's name on it anywhere. Somebody complained, and he got asked to leave the game. We've got the audio here somewhere. I could dig it up out of my files. Meanwhile, two sections over, they're waving pride flags at the same stadium where supposedly you're not. The idea of him being kicked out is that you're not supposed to get political. They don't welcome political signs that haven't been approved in advance. Well, of course, the secret there is they would never approve a MAGA hat, but they're just fine with LGBTQ plus rainbow flags flying all over the stadium.
Make it make sense.
It doesn't make sense. It's never going to make sense. It's the woke world wanting to force their worldview down your throat and restrict freedom at the same time. It's crazy. So I wouldn't expect any less, and I wouldn't expect it to change necessarily. I guess those two teams would have the option of not playing in the World Cup.
And maybe they'll decide to not play that game. They'll say, look, you know, we want to be part of this, but we're refusing.
If they forfeit, then it just hurts them in the standings, right? What a shame
but if
they're forcing
did,
politics into this World Cup event.
I vote for a heterosexual night or a Palestinian night or a Jewish night.
How about just a Cougar night? All the alum of SIUE, who are now the 66ers, or 67ers.
Oh, I thought you were going a different way there.
What do you mean?
I was all for the other one.
Oh. What? Older, attractive
that,
ladies
that
night?
That would get all the men
to
watch.
I don't know. I'm just saying. In case you didn't miss that earlier, the SIUE is changing the name of certain teams over the course of the next year to the 66ers.
But only for certain games,
Only for
though.
Certain games.
Only for the basketball teams and only in, for certain games.
In celebration of Route 66 anniversary.
Make it make sense.
It doesn't. We just need to quit trying. That's it. Make this make sense. Please make this make sense. How can your hospital system restrict you from getting information on your 13-year-old child? Now, they deny that they do it, and in the same denial of doing it, they explained why they do it. It's the dumbest story I've ever heard, and now the Attorney General is looking into it, and we're going to talk to a mom who's been the victim of it, or has seen it on the forums when she was there, and we're going to talk to her, Haley Hercules, coming up next. Stay tuned. All right, welcome back. So, you know, normally we do Kim on a Whim here, and the other day we were talking about this this issue of this controversy of finding out that in certain medical systems locally, I'll just use BJC here, your 13-year-old can sign a piece of paper restricting the parent from accessing some information. And Kim and I are like, how can that be a thing? And we determined the Attorney General's looking into it after the story broke. And we've invited Haley Hercules back on the show. She's a mother who reached out to me after hearing us talk about that story. Haley, welcome in. How are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's great having you back. You know, I saw Channel 4 covered this story, and they tried to claim that what was being talked about here was misinformation or something. But once I read the story, the hospital system says, no, that's not what we do, but here's why we do it. So basically they're admitting that they do this.
Yes, correct. And one thing I did want to correct you on here in my intro, I know you had said that that adolescents can sign something restricting parents from access, but that's actually inaccurate. So it starts at the age of 12, and once your child turns 12, they actually disconnect the parents' ability to access their MyChart and any of their medical records. So it just happens by default. So actually, you would have to have your adolescent meet with the doctor and quietly, I guess, in a safe place, and make sure they're comfortable exposing their medical records to their parents. The doctor has to sign the form as well as the adolescent, but at any point, the adolescent can turn off the parent access via their MyChart.
So one of the questions Mark and I were asking the other day was, okay, well, if the parents are still paying the medical bill, which I assume they are for a 12-year-old, how does that go down? Because if the child won't even give the parent access to, say, their STD test, how do they explain the bill that comes, the EOB that arrives in their mailbox?
Yeah, I think that's a very valid question. And thankfully, the way my husband and I raise our kids, we haven't run into this, you know, particular situation. But I'm sure there's many other families in the area that have dealt with that. So that's a very good question, especially since the parents are most likely the ones carrying the health insurance, right?
Yeah, yeah. People that don't have aren't covered or go to the BGHS system may not understand. MyChart is an app. I've got the app on my phone, and I can go in anytime and look at my medical records and appointments and test results and all of that stuff. And what we're saying is here, it's not a HIPAA law, but the hospital system has determined that after that age, a child could prevent a parent from having access electronically to those records. But BJC says any parent could still go in and any personal representative and ask for a hard copy of those medical records.
That is inaccurate information, Mark.
Okay. Okay.
I personally went through this with my daughter. Actually, my daughter, she's special needs and nonverbal. And we were going through this back in January trying to obtain some of her records. And I actually had to go in and get the form signed by her doctor and then sign it on behalf of her as well.
Wow. So, well, the Attorney General,
inaccurate information.
Were you happy to hear the Attorney General is looking into this?
Yeah, finally. I mean, I brought this to the governor's desk, his office, several times. I also brought it to Attorney General Andrew Bailey with no response back from his office either. So I would like to hope she's truly looking into this and not just saying something to keep everybody quiet.
It's just confusing because the post that Channel 4 had made kind of claim it's misinformation was the company that runs MyChart was saying, oh, no, we don't change access for parents to their child's medical records. So it almost seems as though they're putting the blame on specifically WashU, like BJC, saying they must be going in there and altering that, unless maybe I'm misunderstanding that.
Yeah, that's how I kind of read everything as well. So if you know, I don't really attend any doctors at the SSM facilities, but it does not sound like they have that age category. So this is a strictly BJC WashU. And also, this falls for any doctor's offices. So your pediatrician's offices, your any doctor's office that operates under the BJC WashU umbrella. This isn't just for hospitals.
Wow, I'm getting texts from people all over the place, including my sister-in-law, telling me they're going through this right now with their mm-hmm. my nephews. I mean, people need to understand this. My guess is, I mean, I saw where Senator Nick Schroer is on the case already. Maybe there'll be something in the legislature to address this issue this year.
Yeah, I would hope so, but I think enough parents just kind of have to stand firm here and demand change. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So the more people that maybe our attorney general hears from, would increase her appetite to get this resolved here quicker.
It's a great point, Haley. Thank you for the great information this morning, and we appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate everything you guys do. Have a good day.
We'll talk to you soon. Haley Hercules there explaining what she's gone through with BJC. Wow. All right. Coming up, busy hour for you. We got Senator Eric Schmidt at the top of the hour, Jimmy Failla from Fox Across America, and Taylor Riggs from The Big Money Show, because, of course, today's the day the Fed announces if they're going to do another interest rate cut. So we've got all that's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.